This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you. Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Dr. Evangeline Mantioris from the University of South Australia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're well, thank you. And we're excited to chat to you. But before we talk about today's topic, Evangeline, I've got to say to you, I have been making our Mediterranean diet veggie dish every week without fail.
Excellent.
All the olive oil, frying up the garlic and the onion, etc. Do you know, it is so popular, I am distributing it to people.
So you're making a bit of money on the site.
No, I'm doing it for free. It's costing me money, but I feel like I'm making everyone healthy.
Oh, good. You should give the recipe with them so they can make it and then they can pass it on.
Yeah, they can bring some back to me. It's a great idea.
That's right.
But it's really good. It's really popular and it has just made things so much easier. I feel like I'm ticking the box in terms of the Mediterranean diet.
Absolutely. Well, it is easy when you do it in bulk, isn't it? Because you're doing, you know, just a little bit extra work for all the extra benefit you get later by having it ready to go.
Definitely. Now, today we are talking about how not to kill our Christmas guests, a very important topic, Evangeline.
Absolutely. You wouldn't be popular, would you?
No. Let's start off with the baby spinach. What's going on there?
Oh, the baby spinach. Isn't that an interesting case? Normally when we have recalls of food products because of safety concerns, it's because they've had a microbial contamination or that they've got an undeclared product in there that's a potential allergen. So, you know, a chocolate may have been made with nuts in it and it's not been written on the label. Mm-hmm. So people that have got allergies have got, you know, are at risk of severe anaphylactic responses. But in this case, it's been where a weed has been included in the final product. And really, when you think about it, it's amazing it doesn't happen more often because, you know, I know how quickly weeds grow up in my garden. Mm. But this particular weed is called thorn apple and it's part of the nightshade family. And it's responsible for all the reactions that's been seen that's popped, you know, people into hospital with eating baby spinach. But luckily, it came from just one source and that's now been rectified. And so it's quite safe to eat spinach. And, you know, more importantly, Warren, put that spinach into your Mediterranean hot pot as well.
Do you know, I was going to this week and I didn't because of what was going on with the spinach scare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will next week.
Yes.
So essentially,
next week you can
Evangeline, there's a weed in these packets of spinach. Would you be able to see it or?
Well, yeah, I mean, it probably looks very similar to spinach, but I guess when people are quickly doing things, you know, you might not notice that there's one leaf in there that's got a slightly altered shape to it. So, you know, that's the risk, I guess. And, you know, it could happen in your own back garden where you have the weed popping up within your own, you know, veggies. So it is important to have a good, you know, look over them and, you know, wash them. I always like looking over them to make sure there's no, you know, creepy crawlies in them because I don't really want that sort of extra protein in my dishes.
Totally. So just to be clear, the spinach that's like on the shelves now in the supermarket, because I went to the supermarket yesterday and spinach was on special and I was like, is it on special because everyone's like scared of spinach at the moment or is this the spinach? Like, is the stuff that's on the shelf now and we buy and take home like from today, that isn't being recalled, right? That's new.
That's
a new lot.
Yeah. That's a new lot.
Right.
But what this tells us is that we should probably always keep an eye on those websites that do tell us about food recall products. Mm. So the site is called Food Standards Australia and New Zealand, and you can follow them on Twitter or Facebook, and they post any food recalls that come. And at the moment, they've got about three or four since the spinach one, and most of them are undeclared allergens or that there might be bits of metal in food. So it's really good just to follow them and make sure you know what's happening with your food supply, because it's a really great system we've got in place to quickly tell people that there's a problem and to recall it. So if you're part of the network, it's going to make it even easier and healthier for you.
So that's the Food Standards for Australia and New Zealand. So Evangeline, how should we keep our food safe over Christmas?
Yeah, look, it's a bit like the Swiss cheese model, and people may have heard about it for COVID, you know, cover your sneezes, wash your hands, you know, try to be outside, wear masks. It's one thing is not going to prevent it, but having a whole lot of strategies in place will reduce your risk as much as possible. And so with trying to reduce, what we're trying to do is reduce bacteria growing in food. And the thing that promotes bacteria growing is the temperature. And we call the danger zone, where food is kept between 5 to 60 degrees, is where bacteria can multiply quite rapidly. Below 5, it's too cold for them to replicate, so they just sort of stay dormant. That's why our fridge temperature is, you know, 4 or below. Mm-hmm. And then 60 degrees and over, it sort of kills them. So once again, they can't replicate. So your whole idea is trying to reduce how long you keep food within that 5 to 60 degree temperature. And everyone knows on Christmas Day, you know, you lay the table, you've got the salads, you've got the meat, and people are going back and forth and grabbing food. So the important rules to remember with that is you can't keep food in that danger zone for more than 4 hours. Once it's out for more than 4 hours, it needs to be ditched. And then the second rule, we call it the 2 and 4 rule, is that if you keep it out for 2 hours or more, you can't then return it to the fridge and save it for another day. So if you think you're going to have lots of leftovers, you know, you keep it out for 2 hours and then pop it back in the fridge. But that's difficult, you know, to keep a track of what's happening on Christmas Day with timing. So what I suggest people do is put smaller amounts out on the buffet table and then replenish the stocks of salads or meat or whatever it is, you know, after 2 hours. So you're not risking the food going off, and also you're not wasting the food, because that's a shame as well.
Evangeline, so if we cook something, and I've always wondered about this, it's quite hot, you take it off the stove or out of the oven or what have you, you can let it cool down before you put it in the fridge, because someone was saying to me, no, just shove it in the fridge straight away, and I'm thinking, well, it's really, really hot at the moment. They're saying cool it down as quickly as possible. What's the best thing to do there?
Yeah, that's right. So you need to try and cool it down as quickly as possible. It depends on the weather on the day as well. So if it's a cool day, it's going to, you know, cool down much quicker. Sometimes I give the food stirs, so you know, redistributing the heat around, and you're encouraging the heat to go from the top. The other strategy might be that you put it in the sink in cold water, like put the saucepan or the bowl in cold water in the kitchen sink and let that cool it down a lot quicker as well. So once it stops steaming, you're okay to put it in the fridge. But at that point, the other problem that of course occurs is that your fridge temperature is going to drop. Mm. Depending on how good your fridge is, you know, how quickly it can get back to that temperature. So try to cool it down as quickly as you can.
We're chatting to Dr. Evangeline Mansioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and accredited practicing dietitian at the University of South Australia, about how to keep our dinner guests safe this festive season and or not kill them. Speaking of, what should we be aware of when we're preparing food?
Yeah, look, so one thing is the temperature, but the second thing is keeping everything as clean as possible. So the first problem is washing your hands, particularly if it's a food that's handled a lot. So if you're making salad and you're cutting up the veggies and your hands are touching the veggies as you're cutting them, wash your hands. So the main way that we get contaminating bacteria into our food is if people haven't washed their hands properly, particularly after number twos. So wash them with soap for about 20 seconds and make sure you get those bubbles forming when you're lathering up, because that's where the bacteria rises to and then gets rinsed off when you rinse your hands off. So, you know, watch your nails, the nail, you know, whole surface of your hands. Make out you're a surgeon about to go into surgery and wash those hands properly. The second thing is to make sure you don't have raw food surfaces like knives and chopping boards and bowls and plates then being reused to put the cooked food on. So you might have chicken, you've cut it up on a chopping board, you've got the plate that the raw chicken was on, the chopping board and the knife. All of those need to be washed as soon as possible in hot soapy water. Once again, getting that lather up and then using clean surfaces for putting the cooked meat on. Because otherwise, the raw juices that were on those surfaces would just contaminate the cooked meat again. And once again, you know, risk making your guests very unhappy.
And what about, well, we just spoke about storing food, but is there anything else that we should be aware of when it comes to, like, safely storing the food?
Yeah, look, be careful about where you put it in the fridge and make sure that you don't have any raw meat on top of it where the juices might drip down on. So getting that food into the fridge as quickly as possible, making sure the fridge is clean, and making sure there's no raw meats on top of it. Raw meats should typically be stored at the bottom of the fridge so it doesn't drip down onto anything else.
Yeah.
And I guess it depends what your racks look like in your fridge. There's a lot that are glass shelves now, but there's still those wire racks as well. So being careful about, you know, what happens in your fridge as well. And then when it comes to bringing it out, you know, make sure you bring the food out in smaller serves so you reduce the time that it's out in the fridge. The other foods that are really concerning, so, you know, the meat products are always concerning, but the ones that we know that are going to have higher levels of bacteria are those that are your hands are involved in making. So thinking sushi rolls, cold rolls, you need to be extra careful with those and make sure you keep those cold for as long as possible. So think about perhaps when you're serving the food on the day. Here in Adelaide, we're going to have a warm day for Christmas, maybe serving it on ice, you know, having the trays or plates sitting on top of ice to keep some of that food cold that needs to stay cold.
Evangeline, you just reminded me, in terms of, you know, food that is handled a lot, like sushi, etc. When I was in Queensland earlier this year, I went and I ordered some meals for some friends of mine and myself, and we sat down, and then I was watching, and the person behind the counter blew their nose. They sneezed into their hands and then they blew their nose and they didn't wash their hands afterwards. And I immediately just went, no, you know what? I'm not eating here, and kicked up a fuss. And I think my friends were embarrassed, but I thought, no, I can't, because they haven't washed their hands and they could pass something on quite easily. So it's probably important to sort of keep an eye on the establishment too, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I mean, that's the problem when you're involved in this area. You tend to have a closer look at, you know, what they're doing and, you know, sort of like making sure they don't handle food and money with the same hand as well, because money's got a lot of, you know, bacteria on it as well. It's in everybody's pockets, you know, purses, it's handled a lot. So being really careful about it, and I guess it's probably a good thing to politely remind the manager about, you know, food safety, because the risk for the company is it can have a huge impact on their sales, because when you do these food recalls, they're quite expensive to do them. So they want to get those, you know, safety practices, you know, really, really well done. I've got colleagues who just don't look anymore. They say they can't cope. They just don't look when the food's being prepared.
I'm like,
see no evil.
That's right.
Evangeline, you mentioned, you know, with cold foods and like heavily handled cold foods, obviously we need to be really careful. If like the worst were to happen and someone that was like heavily handling a food that then goes in the oven, does the oven negate the like bad bacteria on their hands? Or that's are there right. some bacteria? Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it does. So the bacteria will be killed, you know, once it's at 140, 150 and 160 degrees. But sometimes what the problem is that the bacteria produce a toxin, which is heat stable, and it's not the bacteria but the toxin that causes the illness.
Right.
So you still need to be careful. It doesn't mean you can go from the toilet to the kitchen. Yeah. Don't worry, I can assemble this pizza. It's going in the oven. You still need to be careful.
Yeah, no, I wasn't trying to get away with that. Don't worry, Evangeline. No.
I'd be out the door in a flash if it was the house I was at.
Doesn't it remind you of that Seinfeld episode? I don't know if you're Seinfeld fans, where, you know, Jerry Seinfeld's watching the guy, his girlfriend's father, make pizza, and he was in the toilet.
Yes.
So all that, didn't wash his hands
exactly.
before.
That's don't be that son. Guy.
Don't be that guy. That's right.
But imagine,
Poppy, was his name Poppy? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. Don't be Poppy.
What about, as a guest, you know, what can we do? Obviously, you know, the food's out of our control as such. We're not preparing it. What can we do to protect ourselves?
Look, I mean, I guess the first thing as a guest is, you know, wash your hands as well. You know, if food, and it's hard to tell if food is off, right? Because, you know, there's no real good just looking at it, and even smelling it sometimes doesn't tell you that the food is problematic. But I guess as the guest, it's what you can do to protect yourself and everybody else as well. And particularly when, you know, we're still in this COVID pandemic, is I've got, you know, wash your hands, make sure you wash your hands well, particularly if there's kids around on Christmas and they tend to not be as mindful of, you know, food hygiene. So teach the kids, you know, don't double dip, don't lick their fingers and then touch shared food again. I think kids are pretty good at sneezing into their, you know, elbow rather than into their hands. They've been really well trained at, you know, kindy and school to do that. But just, you know, be mindful of all those things. And we're going back to Seinfeld again, but, you know, where who was it? George, you know, was double dipping in front of that kid and the kid was telling him off. But, you know, just be standard practices of, you know, being respectful for your, you know, your other guests there, and don't double dip, don't lick your fingers, don't sneeze over the food, all that sort of stuff. And if you're taking something there, make sure you keep that food as cold as possible, you know, before it's served up as well.
I reckon when I see someone double dipping or, you know, sneezing into their hands or something like that, licking their fingers, I hear, you know, the psycho music and everything slows down.
It's I think we've got a problem.
I think so too. Great to chat with you, Evangeline. Thank you so much for giving up your time and joining us here on Joy Drive throughout the year. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to having you again next year.
Oh, look, it's been a pleasure being on. Thank you so much, guys, and I hope you and all your listeners have a great Christmas and New Year.
You too. Thank you, Evangeline.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and an accredited practicing dietitian at the University of South Australia, and some great tips there.
As always.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.